Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We are seeing a natural disaster, supposedly, of great consequences, and also it shows the weakness and folly of men. That is the earthquake in Japan, the fourth largest earthquake of recordable history, and it moved the whole main island of Japan by 8 feet. It affected the rotation of the earth temporarily, and the timing of the spinning of the earth temporarily. That's how powerful it was. But one man, the governor of Tokyo, admitted the truth, Shintaro Ishihara. And he has proclaimed the recent earthquake and tsunami are divine punishment for the sinful depravity of the Japanese people. The identity of the Japanese people is greed. This tsunami represents a good opportunity to cleanse this greed, and one we must avail ourselves of. Indeed, I think it is divine punishment. When asked by an incredulous journalist as to whether this was a prudent utterance, better not reported, he responded, "It may be harsh for the victims to hear, but I want you to take it down and report it." Now, he's currently running for his fourth term. So let's see, how did some of the people take it? Remember this, in politics, you cannot really tell the naked truth. So his opponent said, "You shouldn't have said that it was divine punishment." So then Ishihara, the next day, issued this, "I will take back the remark and offer a deep apology." Can you stand the truth about your own evil nature? Can you stand the truth about the people in your community, why there's so much greed and evil? Now, there may be some things that are good. There are people who do good. That is true. There always are those. But can you stand the truth concerning our economic situation here in America, that this nation is ready to collapse? Can you stand the truth that the whole world is in jeopardy now because of these things that have been going on? Can you stand the truth that God is in charge and he's going to work his will on this earth? Can you stand the truth that God in heaven above judges the nations on earth, and he judges them with what are called natural disasters? Let's see how God phrases this and talks about it to the modern nations of Israel today. And this applies to any nation, as we will see. Now, God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch him make a pot with the spinning wheel. And then he said, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does with the clay?" And then he says, "Israel, you are as the potter's clay in my hand." In other words, God is going to do what he will do, and God will bless whom he will bless and curse whom he will curse. He will reward those who are righteous and will punish those who are evil. Let's see it right here. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. "If at any time I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it." Now, how does God do that? Does he reach down and just do it? No, he uses natural disasters. He raises up armies. He raises up the enemies from outside and within. Now, here in America, we need to think about that. What is happening here in America? See? Now, this governor, Ishihara, was telling the truth. It's an amazing thing what happened. The fourth largest, most powerful earthquake that men have ever recorded. And God didn't know about it? Does not God even know when a sparrow falls? See, God is in charge of all the nations. He runs them. Now, notice, verse 8, If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. So here's an opportunity. One man spoke the truth. He should never have gone back on it. Now here back in Jeremiah the 5th chapter, I want to read you something. At the height when Jerusalem was so filled with sin and greed and avarice and murder and hatred, here's what God said. Because if one man speaks the truth, if one man is just, if one man does righteousness, he can save a multitude. Let's read it. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places, if you can find a man, one man, just a man. Ishihara probably spoke the truth, yet people couldn't stand it. How did they treat Jeremiah? How dare you come here and speak against God's people? How dare you say we're going into captivity? Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, you see. God had to divinely intervene and protect Jeremiah. Now, I have an assignment for everybody watching, church at home. You have a Bible? Read the whole book of Jeremiah and take it as personal correction for yourself as well. And remember as you read it, everything that Jeremiah said would happen, happened. Because God gave him the message. We need to understand, any time the words of God truthfully are spoken, God will back them up. And any time that there is a nation, individual, or group of people who will repent and turn to God, he will repent of the evil that he sought to do against them. Because he is judge, and no one can get away from the judgment of God any more than you can get away from the law of gravity. Do you understand that? I know a lot of people don't like to read blood, guts, and gore, war, destruction, death, and famine, and the sword, as found in the book of Jeremiah. But as you're reading it, remember, it happened. Remember, they were sent into captivity. Now, if you are a student of history, and you have the book of Josephus, you read the account of Josephus and the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., and let that be an instruction to you, and let that be something to help you reevaluate your life, reevaluate your circumstances, and reevaluate your attitude concerning the Word of God. Are you like those who heard what Ishihara said and can't stand the truth? Come back here to Jeremiah 18 again. Verse 9, if at any time I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, what is evil? God is the one who's determined evil, right? He's the one who gave the laws and commandments, correct? He is the one who said that sin is a transgression of the law. He is the one who said, keep my commandments. And God even commends the Gentiles who were not given the law of God, that if they do the things that are contained in the law, like Ishihara did in admitting the truth, then he will bless and honor that. So this is what a lot of people like to say, and our infamous president here in the United States, that this is a teachable moment. But are you teachable? Let's read on. I will repent of the good with which I said I would do them good. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am forming evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Want to quit lying? Want to quit cheating? Want to quit stealing? You want to quit breaking the commandments of God? You want to make your behavior good? Or do you think this is some religious nut just promulgating the Bible. Need to think about it. Well, they've noticed this concerning the Japanese. They were probably all very humbled from that tremendous earthquake because there's no looting, there's no stealing, there's no murdering. They're humbly accepting the situation and doing the best that they can do with it. Can we say that of Haiti? Can we say that of New Orleans and Katrina? What kind of a cesspool of crime and corruption was New Orleans before Katrina came and destroyed the city? So corrupt that when it came, people were stealing and looting and killing and murdering, impersonating police. Those who were in charge were so confused that they didn't even do the good that they could have to get the people out of there. Not one of them said, "Oh, this is the hand of God. We better repent." Maybe some few did. And so since they're not willing to take the responsibility for their own actions, and since they didn't want to stop the killing, the looting, the cheating, the adultery, the gambling, and all of that sort of thing that goes along with it, God destroyed it. Now, what happened when they moved the people to other cities? Did the people change and repent of their behavior of it? No, they didn't. What did they do? Well, the crime rate went up drastically in Houston, where they kindly took a lot of people from Katrina. Oh, you're being harsh. No, that's the wrong question. What kind of people, in the face of disaster, will continue in evil? That's the question. Now, what the personal behavior of each one is, they have to answer to God for that. Now, let's look at today's modern world described by Jesus Christ. Luke 17, verse 26. Want you to think about how the world has been. Want you to think about all the rains, the floods, the tornadoes. I want you to think about all of the earthquakes that have taken place in this last year, coming right around the ring of the Pacific Island. And remember, here in California, we're ready for a big one. And all of those of you who live in the Midwest, that huge fault line in 1812, everything moved, even changed the course of the Mississippi River. No one is exempt from the judgment of God, the earthquakes of God, the floods of God. Notice how people cavalierly live their lives. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Well, they didn't listen to Noah. Oh, he's that religious nut. Yeah, he's that guy out there building that ark. Oh, what a fool he is. Did it happen? Yes, it did. You can go to the top of any mountain and you can see that there was a flood. Now notice verse 28. In the same way, in the days of Lot, that is in Sodom and Gomorrah, you see? Oh, they thought, oh, we're independent, we're sexually free, oh, this is wonderful. Remember what God said. He's the one who said, you shall not commit adultery. Oh, but that's outdated today. Is it? God doesn't think so. What were they doing in the days of Lot? They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that what the world is doing? But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. That happened. But have people learned the lesson today? Oh, no. You don't dare have hate speech toward those who practice perverted sexual behavior. No, no, no. We've got to be broad-minded, and we have got to honor homosexual marriages. Really? Yes, we got to do it in the name of God. Really? Do you think God is going to bless a perversion that he says is an abomination? How many floods? How many tornadoes? How many droughts? How many failed crops do we have to live through here in America? The wheat crop in Russia last year failed. The wheat crop in China last year failed. The rice crop in Japan is going to be markedly reduced. Things happen in the world and affect the whole world on a worldwide scale. Now let's come back here to Genesis 6 and let's revisit the flood. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you look at all the modern things we have today. Electricity, power tools, etc. They must have had them, and Noah must have had them to build the ark. But why did the flood come? God said there in Jeremiah 5 that he would spare all of Judah and Jerusalem for one man. One man. And when you study the Bible, you realize that many times when the world is confronted with evil, it gets down to one man. And the same way with Noah in his life. So I want to ask you a question. Are you that one man or that one woman? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to stop off your sins like Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, we'll see how God deals with kings. Yes, indeed, he deals with leaders. If they're evil, he will blind them, and their policies will all be stupid and all collapse and all fall in a heap. Does that sound like Washington, L.D.C. today? They're all like a bunch of blind, drunken men, with the exception of few saying, it's an emergency, it's an emergency, we've got to cut spending. Oh, no, we need a big plan. Listen, God is going to answer in a terrible way unless there's something done, not only with the spending, but with abortion, with murder, with drugs, and with all the things going on in the land. This land is filled with corruption, and the world is filled with corruption, just like it was in the days of Noah. So let's come back here to Genesis, the sixth chapter, and let's see, verse 5. God looks down on the earth. He's constantly judging the earth. He's constantly seeing what's going on. Verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What's going through your mind? I'm going to give a series on what occupies your mind. What does? If it's not the Spirit of God, and if it's not the Word of God, and if you live in the world the way that the world is and think that everything that the world is doing with all of its entertainment, with all of its drugs, with all of its fornication, with all of its sexuality, with all of its violence that you see in the movies and on television and on video games and computer games and iPods and iPads and Blackberries and Blueberries and Brownberries, you got another thought coming. There is a reason why we can't close the border, because of the sins of the people. And the Lord repented that he had made man on the earth and was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the crawling thing and the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them. Well, think about that. How great and glorious was the creation of God. But man, because of sin, who rejected the true God and followed the god of this world, Satan the devil, look at what the society became. Is the earth in exactly the same way today? Well, yes, it is. It certainly is. We can expect more disasters. We can expect more wars, more revolutions, more upheavals. Let's read on. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. So God is merciful and just, isn't he? But let's see what the earth was like. Verse 11. Now the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Do we have violence today? Violence everywhere? Yes. Unspeakable violence. And it's going to get worse because there's no repentance. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. One man, Governor Ishihara, said, this is the judgment of heaven against us because of our greed. And no one wants to believe him. And it was so politically correct, and the pressure against him was so intense, that he had to apologize for speaking the truth. How about you? How do you view the truth? How do you view the Word of God? Are you ready for the strong truth of God, which says, repent and turn to me? Are you ready to change your way of life, your lifestyle? Are you ready to get on your knees before God and admit the truth of your life, of your deceptions and your lies and your greed, your jealousy, your hatreds, your thefts, your Sabbath breaking, your idolatry, your worshiping of other gods? Are you ready for that? Or is that politically or religiously unacceptable to you? Well, the answer lies between you and God. Now, yes, we should help the Japanese the very most we can and help them recover and be restored. And I just wish that here in the United States there would be enough of an attitude like the Japanese. No stealing, no riots, no going against the neighbors in time of trouble, but helping them. This is a disaster that is unspeakable and far worse than Katrina ever was. So this is why we need to view things through the lens of Scripture to understand how God views things so that we can get our perspectives correct. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And goodbye, everyone.